Well, the late Vance Havner once said that the church suffers from the saddening lack of old-fashioned, simple-hearted, overflowing Christian joy. And he went on to say, we have plenty of knowledge, plenty of enthusiasm and denominational zeal, but Christians and churches that started out in revival fires are living in the smoke. Well, whether or not you agree with Vance's assessment, the fact of the matter is that God does want his people to experience the kind of relationship with him that they might have an inner joy. So this morning we want to hear what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And I've entitled the message, That Your Joy May Be Full. That your joy may be full. So here we are. We've opened the Bible now to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Now, the other year, a lot of us gathered right here in this auditorium to hear Sue Thomas speak. And we wondered what this deaf woman had to say. What did she have to share? We wondered about her life story. How did she cope in life given her disability? And we were intrigued by the fact that part of her career was with the FBI. Why and what was that all about? What kind of encouragement would Sue bring to us as she came to share with us that Sunday evening? And I thought it was rather striking. I don't know if you remember at all how she began, but it struck me, it stayed with me. Sue said, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I am a witness. Yeah. And in the scripture I just read, the writer, assumed to be John, talks of having personally experienced certain things. So in verse 1, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. In verse 2, we have seen and bear, there's that word, bear witness. Now, what is being talked about in 1 John is not just academic, not just something that found its way into some textbook. It's not just theoretical. It's not just sort of an experiment taking place, you see, to see if we can come up with the right kind of formula. It's not just relating what somebody else may have said or done. It is giving personal witness or personal testimony to fellowship with the Lord. And there was a hopefulness or an expectation that the readers would experience the same thing. These things we write to you that your joy, some of your versions may say our joy, may be full. Verse 5. Now, having said that, there are three things in particular I want to talk about this morning, being namely joy in knowing Jesus, joy in having fellowship with Jesus, and joy in experiencing answered prayer through the name of Jesus. So let's begin with that first one, joy in knowing Jesus. There's a key phrase in verse 1. The writer spoke of having handled or experienced, if you will, the word of life. Now, if you're looking at an actual Bible here, it may be that the W for the word word is capitalized. It's tipping you off that it's a reference to the Lord. And we have a similar reference in John's Gospel, We've heard that read already this morning, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 in particular, I wanted to make note of. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the Word is a reference to Jesus. And if we miss that, we miss the entire essence of the gospel, and we miss the entire essence of the epistle that we're starting to look at this morning. Joy comes when a person gets to know, to truly know who the Lord is, the one who is life and light. Have you come to know the Lord and are walking with Him, are walking in that light? In John chapter 8, we read about the scribes and Pharisees. In a way, they were up to some of their old tricks, but they brought to Jesus a woman that had been caught in the very act of adultery, and they pointed out to Jesus, as if He didn't know, of course, that in the law of Moses, it says that a person in that kind of situation should be stoned. And then they said to Jesus, "But what do you say?" And I'd like you to notice what is recorded for us then in verses 6 to 12. "This they said, testing Him, that they might have something of which to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with His finger, as though He did not hear. So when they continued asking Him, He raised Himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin, let him throw a stone at her first.' And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in her midst. And when Jesus had raised Himself up and saw no one but the woman, He said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' And she said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.' Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.' I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So, here are a couple of bottom line statements. There is no joy for a person that remains in their sin. Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." But there is no joy for a person that remains in their sin. But there is great joy for a person who comes to the Lord and walks in the light. Walks in the light of the Lord. As the psalmist put it in addressing the Lord, "You will show Me the paths of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore." That's from Psalm 16, verse 11. So, there we are again. It always begs questions as we look at the Scriptures. Have you and I really, truly come to know the Lord? Not just knowing about Him, but truly knowing Him. Let's face it, a lot of people knew who Alex Trebek was, right? A lot of people know who Pat Sajak is or Vanna White, but do they truly know them? And over the years, I've used an illustration from my own life to hammer home this point. As I have worked with new believers and so on, or people that are inquiring, you know, I've said, I knew about President Gerald Ford. I knew, for example, that his roots were in Omaha, Nebraska. I knew certain things about him. I even had the opportunity to shake President Ford's hand one day. But did I truly know Gerald Ford? The fact of the matter is that I never got together for lunch with him. We never talked by phone. We never played Dutch Blitz. We never did any of those things that we might do if we truly knew each other and were in fellowship with each other. There is joy in knowing Jesus, truly knowing him and following him, not just in knowing him in part or knowing some information about him. Well, having said that, let's move on now to the second key point. Let's think about joy in fellowship with Jesus. Notice again what John said in verse 3 of our text, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things, verse 4, we write to you that your joy may be full. Now, John was not the only one that bore witness to this matter of experiencing joy through fellowship with Jesus. Troy spoke of it. That's right. Joy spoke of it in a recent newsletter from Gospel Echoes Prison Ministry, and I'd like you to listen to some of Troy's testimony this morning. He said, I never learned or grew in my relationship with God. Because of that, I never had any positive sense of direction. I was angry at the world. I considered myself a Christian, but really had no idea what it meant. During my years of puberty and becoming a teenager, I grew very resentful toward God. I blamed him for my dad leaving and for my mom being sick. And I felt a deep sense of loneliness and sadness in my heart that I eventually turned to drugs and alcohol to fill. Yeah, they worked for a while, but it was never enough. The drugs and alcohol only fueled the anger and resentment that would spiral my life further out of control. My relationships, friendships, job, they all fell apart. It led me down a very dark road of anger, rage, loneliness, and depression, which eventually led me to where I'm at today, sitting in jail. This time things have been different. Ever since the chaplain prayed with me and I gave my life to Christ, my world has changed. When I repented, I felt a breath of fresh air that I hadn't ever felt. Now, whenever I pray and I go to the Bible, the words and metaphors are making sense. I feel free inside and no longer chained to Satan. I feel hope and joy. I sleep better. I wake up excited. I found passion in life again through Christ and the glory of God. That's Troy's testimony. That is what he is bearing witness to. You know, when there's stuff on the inside that shouldn't be there, when there are wrong attitudes and wrong actions and wrong choices, it robs us of joy. And that's why David, at one point in his life, he came to the place where he acknowledged his transgression, sought cleansing from the Lord, and said to the Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. That's in Psalm chapter 51. In fact, you might want to go back there this afternoon or sometime and read that entire account. But there's something pretty significant about how David prayed at that point when he said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. There is joy within the human heart when an individual is in right relationship with the Lord and is experiencing true fellowship with Him. And there are two places in particular that I'd like us to refer to in the New Testament that speak explicitly of this. One of them is in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 verses 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul said, "Now the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control." We have to realize something. Joy is one of those things that you and I can't produce with on our own. Don't even go to Walmart looking for joy or think you can order it on Amazon. It's not to be bought. We can't produce it on our own. It's something that develops in our inner being when we're filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Joy is an outgrowth of our fellowship with Christ. It's an outgrowth of our being in communion with Christ. Joy actually is not contingent upon our circumstances. So often, I'm afraid that we allow the circumstances to rob us of something the Lord wants us to have. But our joy is contingent upon our relationship with the Lord. Now, the other place that this is spoken of explicitly in the New Testament is in John chapter 15. Now, in John chapter 15, we have that passage where Jesus, in his teaching and working with the disciples, was using the example of the vine and the branches when he talked about one's attachment to him, if you will, or talked about abiding in him and so on. And I'd like you to notice what Jesus told the disciples in verses 9, 10, and 11. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Isn't that a wonderful thing to hear from the Lord? That His joy might be in us or might remain in us and that might be fullness of joy. Now, the word abide means to be present with, to dwell with, to remain with, to be connected to continue with, to have fellowship with. Jesus called his disciples to abide in him. And what is the outcome of abiding in Christ? Well, it's in part that a person might experience what Jesus said was fullness of joy. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Some people have the crazy idea that God somehow expects us to go through life always being somber, never cracking a smile, never delighting in anything. But I trust that we have seen from the scriptures already this morning that is hardly the biblical perspective. There is joy in knowing Jesus. There is joy in having fellowship with Jesus. And that brings us to the third key point I want to make today. And let's think then about joy in answered prayer in the name of Jesus or through the name of Jesus. Joy in answered prayer in the name of Jesus. In John chapter 16, Jesus was talking to his disciples about the fact that at some point they're no longer going to see him. He was going to the Father. Furthermore, he was telling them that they would weep and lament for a time while the world around them was rejoicing. Excuse me. But he continued by saying that their sorrow would be turned to joy. What was that all about? I mean, what's this? You're not going to see me. You're going to see me. I'm going to be gone. I'm coming back. Well, Jesus may have been alluding to his upcoming death. He may have been thinking about the fact, wanting the disciples to think about the fact, that he would indeed die on the cross, be crucified, dead, and buried, but that he would raise again to glorious resurrection of life. Some people also feel that Jesus may have been referring to his ascension back to heaven and then to his second coming. But I'd like you to notice carefully what Jesus told his disciples as we pick up in verses 22 to 24 in John 16. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. And there it is again, that your joy may be full. Isn't that what it says? What Jesus said? Yeah, that your joy may be full. So, guess what, brothers and sisters? The passage that we're looking at now, it's practical Christian living. It's down where we are at from day to day. It's where the rubber meets the road. Think about the ramifications of what Jesus told his disciples. It's expected that Christians pray, ask, and it's expected that Christians experience joy when they experience God at work, when they see him acting and moving in response to our calling upon the name of Jesus, or praying in the name of Jesus, praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. So. A while back, I was dealing with a situation, and I'm sure you have these kinds of situations at times as well. It just seemed that there was no way forward. It felt like things were stuck. Not because of all the ice and the snow, you know, it wasn't that kind of being stuck. But just no way forward in this particular situation that I was involved in. There didn't seem to be an answer. But then one day, as I was praying, there were thoughts that came to my mind regarding that. And as I acted on those impressions, there was the sense that the Lord was indeed making a way. And that answer to prayer caused me to rejoice. And there are other things that I've experienced of late that I could share, but may it suffice to say that people who walk with the Lord often end up with joy in their heart as they see, and I realize that this is not necessarily perhaps our experience every day, but as we see and experience God at work in our midst, and we realize that really is something that I have been praying about. Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. You and I are to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking. That is, we're to continue to look to the Lord. There is joy in knowing Jesus. There is joy in genuine fellowship with Jesus. And there is a joy in answered prayer that takes place in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray. By the way, as we come to prayer, this is just a thought that popped into my mind to have a time of quiet. You can bring before the Lord and ask Him to work if there's something troubling. And then we're going to respond with a great song. I think can be a further means of worship and testimony in this regard. Lord, we do rejoice in You and thank You for that which You have and desire for us, and that at times You call us back, perhaps back to the basics. But we pray that You will continue to work. We pray, Lord, for those situations that have just now been lifted before You. Perhaps some perplexing things, perhaps some situations where there has until now not seemed to be a way. But we look to You, trusting You, praying that You will continue to work and fulfill and bring about Your plan and purpose for our lives and for our church and for the world around us. Lord, there are so many people incarcerated. We pray that many more could find freedom, hope, joy in Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.